What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. The Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology, FAST, is a nonprofit organization that provides Floridians of all ages with disabilities access to assistive technology. This hour, 411 Teen features the Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology. First, an update on the news. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse this hour. 411 Teen features FAST, Florida Alliance for Assistive Service and Technology. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, producer of 411 Teen. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Steve House. Steve is the executive director of FAST.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to talking with you, Steve. Mike Fitch, he is the administrative operations specialist.
Thank you, Dr. Hollifield.
Melody Quinton. Melanie is the New Horizon Fund Program Manager.
Hi there.
And Safi Broxton is the Communications Director.
Hello. It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you. The Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology, FAST, is a nonprofit organization that provides Floridians with disabilities of all ages with assistive technology. FAST is funded by the United States Rehabilitation Services Administration and the Florida Department of Education Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. FAST provides assistive services for individuals with disabilities. Now, you said all disabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to elaborate on that? I mean, I guess there's no elaboration. You mean everything.
Yeah, we mean all disabilities, and that includes some children as young as 2 years old. We've served people in up to close to 100 years old. So,
give me an example of what you might do for somebody as young as two.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For kids with autism, the iPad is particularly helpful for teaching kids to communicate. And as young as two, they are learning to communicate through the iPad through special computer applications.
Okay. What is assistive technology?
Safi, you want to answer that?
Sure. Assistive technology is anything that helps a person with a disability enhance or replace a natural capability. And it can be improvised, it can be purchased, it can be modified. It can literally be anything that helps them go through their daily life and do their daily activities with independence. I like to tell the story about an attorney that we know who literally uses a bag of pennies to hold down the receiver on his phone because he props his phone up on a stand so that he can use it hands-free. He has paraplegia, and he uses the pennies to keep his receiver down so that he doesn't have to worry about hanging up his phone. That's his assistive technology. It doesn't have to be high-tech, but as Steve was saying, we do have some very young kids who, as you know, are all early adopters now that use high-tech assistive technology such as iPads and communication devices. So it covers a wide range of things.
So almost anything can be, depending upon on the environment and the need, can be assistive technology.
That's right.
But we're talking about people who are real innovative, and you all come up with these ideas, huh, to use it in that way. Okay. Speech communication devices, hearing, vision, all of this.
All of it, yes.
On a daily basis. Even what about mobility?
We provide assessments and trainings for individuals who are trying to integrate mobility devices into their daily lives. It can range from adaptations to their vehicles or power chairs and wheelchairs that help them get around. And there are people that use wheelchairs that are modified to allow them to play sports, like wheelchair soccer or other wheelchair sports. So mobility equipment does play a huge role in the assistive technology that's provided.
And we have a refurbishing program where we can refurbish assistive technology that people donate, and then we can refurbish it and get it right back out into the community for somebody that helps in around six, seven areas around the state.
Let me take this time for the listening audience. Steve, would you share how folks contact you?
Sure.
Okay.
You can reach FAST on our website at www.faast.org. You can call toll-free 1-888-788-9216, or the regular number is 850-487-3278.
Okay.
Sophie, you mentioned assessment. What does assessment involve? I mean, let's say I'm a potential client, and you may have something that may help me,
right,
and in whatever my need may be. What do I do?
Well, the services that we provide are called assistive technology skills assessment trainings. So what we do is that we bring the person in. They might come into our regional demonstration center, or we might go out into the community where they are. It could be their school, or it could be their home, or it could be their place of employment. And we take stock of their natural skills and their natural supports. And then we take stock of what the goals are that they're trying to achieve. It's very rarely just based on what the individual's specific disability is. There has to be a goal. I'm trying to obtain employment. I'm trying to, you know, study on my own. I'm trying to get adapted, accessible materials to do my schoolwork, or whatever the case might be. So our regional coordinators or other individuals who are professionals that can come in and do an assessment will take stock of that person's skills and help them learn new skills. And through that, they'll get an idea of what type of technology will work best for them.
So what I hear you saying is that some training is available.
Absolutely,
also.
Yes.
And we have six regional centers around the state. We have a center at the Center for Independent Living in Pensacola. We have one in Jacksonville at the Children's Hope Haven Center. We have one in Orlando at the University of Central Florida Communications Disorders Clinic. We have one in Tallahassee at our headquarters across from TCC, Tallahassee Community College. We have one in Tampa at the Rehabilitation Hospital. And we have one in Miami at the University of Miami Children's Mailman Center. So we do have, you know, we're located
impressive.
Around the state for people to go in. We have regional demonstration center programs where we can loan technology that they can borrow for up to 60 days to try it out and see if it works for them.
That's very impressive. Now, is there any cost involved?
No. All of our
what?
Programs are
That's
free.
Too good to
That's
be true.
Correct.
Our services are free.
There's very little that is free these days. But, yes, FAST services are free. As you mentioned at the beginning of the program, our funding comes from the United States Rehabilitation Services Administration and the state of Florida. And so we do have goals that are based on that. And, yes, our services are free of charge.
What about the hours of operation?
All of our centers are open during normal working business hours, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I know that occasionally, especially our center in Tallahassee, we'll do demonstrations and trainings if needed after or outside of regular working hours if they're scheduled ahead of time.
So you sound like you will accommodate them in any sense, in every sense.
Right. I know we'll talk a little bit today probably about our transition training in relation to special education and ADA and 504 reasonable accommodation rights. And we do training sometimes on weekends. We'll go out into the community. We try to do around 19 to 20 trainings a year around the state. And we do that. A lot of that is upon request. Groups will come to us and ask us to come and do a training. And we can walk them through the processes of getting the services they need in school systems, K through 12 and post-secondary, and for young adults to have a transition plan to transition into post-secondary education or vocational school or into employment.
Okay. What about I&R? Services, I mean, information referral services, is that available?
Yes, it is, and we try to do, we call it sort of I&A. We like to provide information and referral, but also assistance. Mm-hmm. We try to give them a little more than you just call this number and see if they help you. We try to really do some research for individuals, look up the information for them, and walk them through what might help them, you know, with their unique circumstance. Melanie, who runs our New Horizon Loan Program, which is a federal program that allows us to provide low-interest loans if you can't afford to buy technology, does a lot of that, as well as Safi and Mike and the rest of us.
Wow, that's really impressive. What other services do you offer? Talk about the provider directory. Isn't there a provider directory that you have? And the AT Bay?
Yes, we do. We have our website actually has a lot of great services on it. Mm-hmm. As Steve mentioned, we do resource and self-help, and we do information and assistance, and a lot of that is available on the FAST website. We have a statewide assistive technology provider list, and it contains contact information for providers for different categories of assistive technology, like mobility, communication, aids for daily living. We also have a housing resource database that we provide a link to on our website. An individual can borrow a device from our statewide assistive technology loan library. So some of the devices that we're talking about here today, they can actually go online.
Really?
And reserve them, yes. And FAST will ship them to them free of charge and also pay for the shipping back.
Okay.
And we have contact information for all of our regional demonstration centers and for our headquarters here in Tallahassee, also on the website.
And HEBAs, where they can buy,
yes,
sell, or trade technology. And it's sort of like eBay, but we call it HEBay.
And they can access that any way necessary. I mean, mm-hmm, they can call you, they can go online, they can do whatever they need to do.
And ATBay is really exciting because it's a totally user-driven forum. Like Steve was saying, it's just like eBay. Users connect with each other. Someone has a piece of technology that they want to donate or sell, and someone is looking for it. They can link up and get together and exchange the device, and we facilitate a lot of donations that way.
Now, I can refer myself.
To FAST.
That's what I'm asking. To FAST. That's why I'm asking. For our listening audience, because I think it's important that they understand that they don't have to have their case manager or social worker or anyone like that refer them. So it can be self-referral.
Yeah.
I can
call
up and say, you know, I'm looking for a job. I'm having a difficult time because of X, Y, and Z. Okay. And can you help me?
You can call us directly. Anyone can. And you don't have to be a person with disability or family member. You may be someone who's interested, a professional, who's also trying to help individuals. So, we're open to, the public.
That's impressive. Okay. That's dynamic. Let's hear it for you all. How do we access? I'll call you again.
That's 1-800. I'm sorry, 1-888-788-9216.
Or
area code 850-487-3278.
And then there is the web?
www.faast.org.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, I am having a dynamic conversation. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This edition of 411 Teen salutes the Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology, FAST. FAST values each individual's right to achieve their highest potential and the possibilities that can be realized through collaborative efforts focused on the goal of improving life for Floridians with and without disabilities, I guess I would say. Before we went on break, you were talking about a couple of other programs that you had. loan program, and I wanted to explore that a little bit more. I found that very fascinating.
Sure. So this is the New Horizon Loan Program, and when these individuals come in for assessments for these pieces of technology and they try it out with our free loan program and they want to purchase it, that's when they can come to me. And basically, the New Horizon Loan Program is a low-interest rate loan program designed for people with disabilities to borrow money at affordable rates to purchase the technology that can help them best.
What? So now they just fill out the application?
They do. And, you know, we do have a credit check and debt-to-income check, and hopefully we can make the payment affordable for them because, again, the low interest rate definitely helps. And then help
now,
them.
What is this loan limited to? I mean, as far as how can they use it?
Well, they can use it for all types of assisted technology, even for vehicles that are modified.
That's what you were reading my mind.
Yes.
Because I was just wondering, okay, now we've talked about some, you know, technologies, but what if what I need is a transportation?
Absolutely. A majority of the loans that we process are for vehicles, for modified vehicles, and for the modifications for the vehicle and for lifts and things of that nature. So definitely all types of assistive technology.
But home modifications.
Home modifications.
Okay, yeah, elaborate on
sure,
that.
Sure, elevators, lift chairs in homes. Now, we try to help individuals find resources that may pay for this up front.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather see people not have to take out a loan.
Not
if they don't have to.
Go into debt, yeah.
Yeah, so we try to do that first. But this is an alternative that the feds have offered the states to provide if people can't find any other way to get assistive technology. So the program's there. We also have a telework program you can tell them about.
Correct. Too. So the telework program, it's similar to the assistive technology program, and it's to help individuals who are seeking employment through self-employment opportunities, home-based businesses, and we can help them finance things like computers and office equipment, things like that, to help them get back into the work field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So almost any aspect of if they say, I am trying to become employed, like you were saying, Sophie, they've got to have some kind of goal. There's got to be a purpose for what they – but you can help them in almost any way.
Absolutely. And, again, I mean, our focus is to help them find the resource, and hopefully it will be an alternative resource. But there's always the loan there to assist.
Okay. Now, do you provide, I guess you do as I ask this question, but training, hands-on, demonstration type things in helping?
We do. And I give examples of some of the training. For example, right now we're traveling around the state through the federal fiscal year, which is October 1 through September 30th. And we provide about 20 trainings that are customized to help individuals with disabilities and their families understand the special education process, how to get an education plan, which is, you know, how to get the services you may need in special education. But we also now have created a new guide that I'd like to talk a little bit about. And a lot of people do not know that you don't, if you're an individual with disability, you don't have to be in special education. And if you're not in special education but you happen to have a disability, you do have a right to receive reasonable accommodations and auxiliary aids and services under Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act and under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And this also extends to post-secondary like settings like mm-hmm. universities, state colleges, vocational schools, and so on.
Are folks aware of this? I mean, this is just fantastic. It's super.
Well, we have a guide that we just put out in February, mm-hmm. And the guide hyperlinks from the table of contents to the subject you may want to learn about related to the ADA and Section 504 and how it relates to children in kindergarten through 12th grade and then also those in post-secondary and also what a transition plan is, what the requirements are of the community the colleges, state universities, and school districts. So we walk parents through in a user-friendly format that's hyperlinked to law and regulation, but also provides a lot of helpful question and answer information within that guide so that you know that, hey, if I have a disability, say I'm a diabetic, I may need some special health care in a school setting. I have a right to a 504 plan or reasonable accommodations under 504 or auxiliary aids and services under the ADA. I have a learning disability. I'm in college. I have a right to extra time taking a test. I have a right to some assistive technology in the classroom, those kind of things. And it's all laid out in this guide that we have that we're trying to, you know, to make sure that people understand what their rights and responsibilities are to receive those services.
Do the universities know about this? And the reason I ask is because I've had several students, I have it every semester, who probably could qualify for disabilities, but and have already been, you know, diagnosed or whatever, but don't take advantage of these services. That's the thing that I found so frustrating. And they will go through the class and do so very poorly. And at the end of the class, they'll be, well, you know, I'm dyslexic. And I'm like, why are you telling me this now? You know, why didn't you say something? Right. I mean, it happens all the time.
Right, it
does. And so that's why I'm asking. You know, it happens. I'm like, you know, you can go to the learning center on campus and get assistance.
Well, you know, I happen to be blind, but I'm also dyslexic. And for you know, and just imagine me writing Braille backwards. You know, and I do understand when a person has a learning disability, it is difficult to. Sometimes there's people feel there's stigma related to it, and so on. So sometimes it's difficult to admit, but it is important because if you want, you can't get a right unless you try to exercise that you have that right. And now with the ADA Amendments Act, many disabilities that were not covered previously are covered now, many disabilities. So you to know your rights is your way, your power to receive the services. The schools receive federal money, and if you receive a federal dollar, even one, you have to reasonably accommodate a person who comes to you for services. You have to either receive physical accessibility, program accessibility, and then assistive technology and as well.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a section on the in the guide regarding disabled student services and for college-age students, whatever.
Okay. That's right. And there are disabled student services in all universities and state colleges. It's just knowing how to access them, and our guide leads you to where they are and who to contact.
Now, do you have a brochure or anything that maybe various professors could pass out? I mean, is that an option?
It is an option. We certainly can do that so that also students can come to us and borrow technology if they want to try it out. So, yeah, we do definitely have brochures, and our communications director is always updating those brochures. She also offers an excellent newsletter online, news magazine online. You want to tell them?
Yes, we do. We have a news magazine that's called Fast Access, and each month we feature all types of resources and apps. And actually, we have a new column written by Melanie. It's called Credit Smarts by Mel, and she takes you through some great financial fitness tips. So that is available on our website as well at www.fast.org. But I did want to say, when you mentioned, do people know about this resource? As Steve said, the information really does have to get out there, and we try to do it through various ways. But the statewide device loan program is a really great resource that we'd like to see a lot more people using, because, as you said, students know that they may need to get some services, but they may not know how to go about accessing them. And then self-identifying for the Disability Resource Center to be able to give them those services is another thing that they may either not know how to do or not want to do. Mm-hmm. But if they come come to a FAST center and they're looking for technology, it's really simple to borrow, talk to someone, and get an idea of what's out there. Try some things out and, you know, take it home, take it to class with you, see how it works for you. So we'd like to see more students trying to use those services as well.
Okay. Talk a little bit more about the transition.
Sure.
Okay.
When we provide transition training, we explain that under federal law, which is there's two laws that pertain to transition. It's the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 as amended, as well as a Special Education Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act. Both those acts speak to the requirement for states to provide transition services. And transition is really is a plan, a strategic plan for setting goals and services that are to be provided to meet those goals in the school setting, starting at age 16 generally on. So they actually have a transition plan that a number of partners in the community come together and help put together, which is required for students with disabilities. So it really helps people transition into post-secondary life.
That's fantastic.
Sure.
Very much needed.
But our transition training itself, we will walk families through all of how to formulate a 504 plan, a special education plan. We'll walk through all of the pitfalls and give real life examples of how to overcome some of the problems with getting a good plan set up with a school system. We explain law and regulation in hopefully a user friendly way, to might not make it. Some people are intimidated by law and regulation and trying to understand it. So our guides have a lot of questions and answers. They have a lot of hyperlinks directly to the law, so anybody can download that law. They don't have to take anyone's word for it, what the law says. They can go right to – they're hyperlinked right to the law. They can just print it off if it's pertinent to them.
Now, what kind of services do you provide to the families of individuals who may have disabilities? And the reason I ask that is so often those family members may not really be aware – of exactly what is happening with their loved one. That makes sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just wondering, do you provide that or do you refer them? I mean,
both. Mm-hmm. We can't tell you how many parents call us or other family members. My mother had a stroke and I don't know what I should do. Sometimes it's overwhelming because it's happening to you personally. You may, it's difficult to, when you're going through a tough situation, especially if somebody has a new disability, what's out there. So we try to make that a little easier to walk them through and explain a number of the services that are available and how the services work. And so we have 12 resource guides online that hyperlink to law and regulation, ranging from Older Americans Act and services, federal and state services that elders are eligible for, housing guides that walk you through the Fair Housing Act, as well as what HUD can provide and is required to provide, what kind of services you can get through the Housing Finance Corporation. We have guides that help you with if you have a loved one in a nursing home, how do you get a care plan so that you make sure that they get the services they're required to get under the nursing home's licensure. We have a transportation guide that walks you through how to get access to a transportation disadvantaged program and how you go about that. We have, again, we talked about the education guides that we have. We have an ADA guide that walks you through physical accessibility and what's required. We have a guide that explains to IT professionals and other interested persons, how do you make documents accessible and how do you post them online on your website, for example, so that everybody has access to material that you should be providing that's accessible to people with disabilities. So I probably left out a few guides, but we have a lot of them.
But they are also on our website in the resources and library section of the FAST.org.
So if you just go to www.fast.resources-library, you'll go right to those guides.
Well, I would love – yeah, go right ahead.
A lot of times also parents and siblings and teachers and other professionals, maybe other family members, are involved with helping the individual use their technology, making sure that they are getting comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and I am having a very informative discussion with members of the FAST team, Safi Broxton, Steve Howes, Mike Fitch, Melody Quinton. We have been talking about the various areas of support that FAST offers. And I know earlier, Steve, you mentioned housing, accessible, affordable housing. How is this addressed? How does one access the services? Because housing is such an issue, because I think of some individuals who may have disabilities who may need some accommodations in housing, especially thinking of people particularly in apartments and that kind of thing. What do they do?
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things to understand, particularly with a disability, is that you need to know what the Fair Housing Act offers or provides. And we have a housing guide, housing resource, self-help resource guide that walks you through the Fair Housing Act, how to understand if you are experiencing discrimination under the Fair Housing Act and where to go to have that addressed and resolved. And there is a toll-free number in the guide that will walk you through to how to file a fair housing complaint. But if you understand, you know, that to begin with, then the resources that may be available under a number of housing programs, HUD, for example, has strict criteria that they should be providing accessible housing that reasonably accommodates individuals with disabilities. And they have a percentage of housing that they absolutely have to make sure is fully accessible. They do offer a voucher program where an individual may be able to get a housing voucher that they can then that helps subsidize their rent. So if they're they have a low income, they have a disability, you don't only have to have a disability, but you could be single family, you could be an elder. There's many different individuals who have different individuals who may qualify for HUD housing. In addition to that, the vouchers do allow you to take the voucher to a landlord who will accept a housing voucher. So you can – some landlords participate and you can seek those landlords out, take your voucher, and then you pay a lower amount of rent than the landlord charges because they're subsidized by HUD.
Okay.
Then there's also there's a housing finance corporation. This guide leads you to that, and there are many programs – with the Housing Finance Corporation. They receive a large amount of money that they provide incentives to builders, people who refurbish homes, to also accommodate people with disabilities. And there's also another really excellent resource that we have on our website that links you to the Schimburg Center, which is a center out of the University of Florida in Gainesville, our Gator friends, where you can go and you can – they list all affordable, accessible housing in Florida. Their housing they're the clearinghouse for accessible housing in Florida. And it'll take you to a direct link to them. So you can search for affordable, accessible housing in your area by going to that site.
Are there incentives for landlords to make the necessary accommodations?
There are some incentives. The Fair Housing Act requires that a landlord allow reasonable accommodations, but that would have to be at the individual's expense.
Okay.
But the landlord can't deny it if it's a reasonable accommodation. But at the end of the lease, if they leave, they may have to put the facility back in the condition it was in.
Okay.
But then there are now with our population, especially in Florida, aging in place is a big concern. So a lot of builders are now building homes accessible because we have so many retirees that want to age in place and not going to nursing homes. So that's also helping with housing through the building code being built more accessible to begin with.
Okay. How do you interface with the community? I mean, do you do community outreach?
We do things like this. Like this program is a wonderful way to do that. But we also we'll do public service announcements. We go out in the community and we do outreach. We go to events, conferences, exhibit fairs, disability related events, and we have a booth, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we provide demonstrations of assistive technology and brochures and that type of thing about our programs.
For all of you, I'd like to know what has been the most stressful or difficult component of what you do.
I'll start.
Okay.
I mean, I'm new to FAST. I started just a few months ago, and I have a banking background. And I came to FAST to help with the loan program. And one of the things I've come across is, of course, you're dealing with individuals living with these disabilities, and they have a tough time already. And then the financial trouble that they've come across. And, of course, I'm dealing with them firsthand and noticing that their credit might have been affected by the medical bills and things mm-hmm. that they've come across with trying to help improve their health. And it's tough. It's tough to witness the struggle they have, not only with their disability, but also with their finances. And so, back to the guides, that's one of an additional guide that we're producing is a financial help guide to help individuals repair their credit. And like Safi mentioned in the newsletter, there's also a Credit Smarts by Mail just to help individuals establish credit, maintain credit, and repair credit. And so I think that's definitely been a challenge, is just to witness the challenges mm-hmm. that the individuals that we're trying to help have right now. So mm-hmm. hopefully that's one additional resource we can provide.
And this is Mike. I work in the administration side of FAST, so that's actually like probably the hardest mm-hmm. part. But because you're not dealing with the people that you're helping every day.
Right.
You're tied down with the budgets and the quarterly reports
right.
and
all that fun stuff.
Yeah. But I tell
really
you what, when we actually
important.
Reach out and do some information and assistance and really see the results of people, they'll write you the success stories or letters or mm-hmm. pictures of the devices that they're mm-hmm. they're receiving. That's really the rewarding part.
Okay.
Hmm. That's a challenge trying to think of an answer to that question. But I think that along with what Melanie said is seeing what our consumers have to go through when they have already been through a lot of different agencies mm-hmm. and maybe gone to some, they've been transferred to so many different places. That's usually the first thing that I hear when I pick up the phone is I have been given so many numbers, and I just don't know where to start. And so I understand the frustration, and it is helpful to know that there are some resources that are out there, but it is difficult to hear that sometimes because you really want to help, and it's sometimes very limiting, especially with housing. So I definitely can appreciate the fact that, again, with the resource guides that we have, that there's some information that they can at least feel like they've gotten some answers, that where to start is now beginning to be answered for them.
Okay.
I guess mine would be our budgets are small. Our federal funding and our general revenue funding, we're thankful for that funding, but it comes to about $1,200,000 roughly. And to fund six regional demonstration centers, who also kick in a lot of in-kind resources to help their regional demonstration centers run around the state that we have, but also to buy the technology so that it's available for people to try out, and money to refurbish technology. There's a lot of technology out there, a lot more that could be refurbished, that is lightly used, that could be refurbished and gotten back out into the community if we had more funding. So, we do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm. Just with students with disabilities who need computers in school to compete. A lot of kids, with disabilities and low-income kids may not have a chance to get a laptop computer. Dell refurbishes computers for us. They guarantee it just like a new computer. And you can't tell the difference, but it is a refurbished computer that is loaded with software that Dell backs for a year. But I can get a refurbished computer for a child for around $300 thanks to Dell and the work that they do to help us get those into the hands of kids. But we can't get enough of them out. I may give out 100 a year. I could give out thousands if I had the resources, and I'd like to.
Well, that leads to my next question. Do you have a wish list? I think for individuals who may be listening and may say, that sounds like a fantastic, our program. I would like to be more involved. I'd like to be more supportive. What do they do?
We haven't actually gone out and done any formal fundraising, mm-hmm. but we are a not-for-profit and we can accept donations. Mm-hmm. But we haven't done any formal fundraising at this point. But we're planning to begin that process, so we will have a mechanism for that shortly.
What about volunteer? Do you have?
We can always use a volunteer, and we also know where other volunteers need so many places. But we definitely could benefit from volunteers, so we encourage that.
What about another question I had? I wanted to ask, and I think Melanie, you would be the one, or anybody can answer. But I think about finances, and. Do you advise or do you offer education for your clients and their families concerning consumer choices and decisions and that kind? You know what I'm asking? Yeah.
Definitely. And that's, outside of all the resources we do provide, if someone does come to me for a loan, mm-hmm. of course, we want the loan to be the last option. So we're going to find them any type of resource to help them get that need. But then, again, if they do have a credit situation, we're going to do all we can to help them repair their credit. So one day we can extend a loan to them if that is the only option they have to purchase this assistive technology. And again, with the guides, just helping them with resources there to repair their credit. And
that's all good and fine. I was wondering if you even had the services to advise them in making purchases on different things.
For example, with assistive technology, mm-hmm. We try mm-hmm. to give them, access to a lot of different choices with assistive technology so that they make an informed choice. That's part of what our mandate is to help them make informed choices, because they shouldn't buy, or we wouldn't want them to go out and consider buying or trying to get assistive technology through a program that provides it. Like durable medical equipment through Medicaid, it would be nice to know really what type of medical equipment is medically necessary for you, mm-hmm. so that you probably can get that through Medicaid, but it needs to be something that you need to understand what needs to be customized to you that works best for you. A doctor and a physical therapist would be the best people to help make that determination. A communication device, you would want a speech and language therapist and a qualified mm-hmm. assistive technology professional to do that assessment, rather than you just thinking, hey, this looks right. like it might work well for me.
Right.
And you spend a lot of money and it doesn't work.
Right.
So,
and yeah. I think that's important because people don't know that. I mean, I think that's a way that I've found at least individuals that I've worked with have made decisions, and I'm like, well, how did you come up with this? That's why I was mm-hmm. asking mm-hmm.
Yeah.
the question of
yeah, technology can be very frustrating mm-hmm. if it doesn't work for you, and it's your ability to also your strengths and where your weaknesses are in terms of your adapting to a different type of technology. Some individuals do not want a very complicated elders. Some elders do not want complicated technology. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they want the cell phones with the big buttons and
right.
I just want to call people. I don't want to. What's this
I don't have to get on the
stuff?
Right.
Yeah, you know. And then others, you know, they want the most sophisticated technology we have, which may include a communication device that operates by the retina focusing to operate mm-hmm. a communication device. Mm-hmm. They're highly sophisticated devices. So it definitely ranges.
And the regional coordinators that we have, they definitely stay on top of the different types of technology, the options that are out there. So when they're doing trainings and outreach and demonstrations, they're not just showing one type of keyboard or one type of communication device.
Yeah.
They're showing a different variety from different vendors that do different things.
And nowadays, computer applications are changing the face of assistive technology mm-hmm. because now you may be able to buy an application for an iPad, for example, that will serve as a communication device that might have cost many thousands of dollars before you can buy an application that might work. So it's trying those out, finding out about those. Now, we offer in the online magazine a section on the latest resources and computer applications. And we're going to come out with our fifth edition. I think Safi's going to have it out tomorrow.
That's right.
and it's going to focus on veteran services. But it will have some specialized apps. But all of our editions, we have sections that you can go that are archived that you can go through and see lots of different computer applications for different disabilities. So it'll kind of help you. And we also feature different types of assistive technology. This, for example, this magazine coming out is featuring something called, is it the Smart Pen, Safi?
That's right. Yes, we're featuring the LiveScribe Smart Pen, which is an amazing device. We have a couple of them for loan in our assistive technology lending library. And what this pen does, it allows you to take notes, and at the same time that you're writing the note down, it's also recording the audio that's going on in the room. So if you've ever been in a lecture, yes, where the instructor
wow.
might have been going a little too fast for you, so you can take notes and it's recording audio. And when you tap on that note with the pen, it plays back the audio for you. And you can upload your notes to your computer, and there's even a software program that comes with the pen. Yes, it really is. It's called the LiveScribe Smart Pen, and it's featured in this upcoming issue of our online newsletter.
Be good for those students.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. We spotlight AT in all editions, and I strongly encourage the listeners out there to subscribe to our newsletter, and they can just go on www.fast.org, and it's right there on the homepage. I think that all they have to do is just enter their email address.
That's
and they'll
right.
be getting it.
That is fantastic. That really is.
Mm-hmm.
I need that myself.
We're doing webinars, too. And I know, Safi, you're helping.
Yes, June 6th, we have a live online demo. We use a GoToWebinar, and that's going to be a demo of the NovaChat 7, which is a communication device. It's a communication device that it's a touch screen, and it works on an Android platform. And I want to say that this is one of very few communication devices that does that. Usually, they're sort of their own little computer. It's software that's developed by the communication device manufacturer, but this particular device actually works. It's a Samsung Galaxy Tab that is loaded with this communication software. So now, instead of having a much heavier, bulkier piece of technology, you have something that's very lightweight and very popular, a Galaxy Tab, that has your communication software on it. And it's a great device, and we have several of them for loan in our library. So we'll be doing a live demo of that June 6th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and people can register on our website for that as well.
And for our listeners, an augmented communication device is a device that helps an individual speak who otherwise wouldn't be able to speak.
Wow. Okay. Steve, would you share contact information, because we've only got a couple more minutes left.
Sure. Our website, www.faast.org. Our toll-free number, 1-888-788-9216. Our phone number is locally is 850-487-3278.
Okay. You mentioned that there were, I think, six regional demonstrations. What I wanted to know in these last few minutes is, do they provide the same services? Are they different services? I mean, would I go to Pensacola for one thing, and that may be their focus, and, you know, go to Orlando for something else? I just wanted to know just briefly about that.
Sure. They do essentially provide core services that FAST provides. Now, they have their own special expertise in, like, communication devices at the University of Central Florida. They specialize in communication disorders, but they provide a regional loan program. They do assistive technology assessments and so on.
So they provide all the services basically that you have shared, or you can go there and you can access them.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you wanted to say something.
No, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, in this last minute, is there anything that we missed that you need to share, you think our listening audience can benefit from?
Well, for any of your listening audience that does take part in social networking, FAST is on Twitter. Our Twitter tag is @FASTInc. That's FAASTINC. And we're also on Facebook if you look for FAST Device Loan Program. And we will regularly post information about our upcoming events or just information about a new device or a new program or initiative or news that's going on.
Can anyone subscribe to your newsletter? How does one access it? That's what I
want. On fast.org, there is a subscribe to our newsletter link on the homepage, and they can subscribe there. And we also offer a way to subscribe to our newsletter in any email that goes out from a staff member. Actually, there's a join our mailing list link in an email. So we have a number of ways that we try to give people a chance to subscribe.
Well, I just want to say thank you to all of you for sharing this invaluable information. And to my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team Podcast, log in wfsu.org.